Welcome to the Wealthy Coach podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two, so fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Welcome back to the podcast, my wealthy AF coaches. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that might be on your mind. I know that a lot of you out there, you have the best intentions with your business. You graduated health school or health coaching school, and you're like, I cannot wait to help people. But it has been maybe a little bit harder than you thought, and maybe you are not getting the clients that you want. And one of the most common questions that I am getting online is, why am I not getting clients? And so in today's episode, I want to talk about three reasons. These are probably the most common reasons that you're not getting clients. But before we get started, I want to try something a little bit new with these solo episodes that I do. I want to talk about, before we get started, something that I am nerding out on, geeking out on super hard, because you guys are always asking me different questions about my personal life. So I want to make these a little bit more personal. And so if you do not give a crap about what I'm nerding out on right now, that's cool. Just skip ahead. But for those of you guys who are interested, it's only going to take a few minutes. So something that I am totally obsessed with right now is my Oura ring. So I got an Oura ring about 2 weeks ago. It's something I've been, you know, it's been on my wish list for a little bit of time now. And I finally bit the bullet and got it. And I am so happy I did. I am completely obsessed with it. And I'm really focusing primarily right now on sleep. And so the Oura ring, for those of you guys who don't know, is a ring. It's a ring, obviously. You put it on your finger and it basically tracks your heart rate variability, steps, exercise, sleep, that sort of thing. And I really love it because you don't have to be connected to Bluetooth. So I typically keep my phone off for a lot of the day unless I'm using it. I don't like to have Bluetooth on. Even though I'm not connected to Bluetooth, it is literally storing all this crazy information in this tiny little ring. And it's honestly hard to believe that it can do that. But it stores all this information. And then I connect it to Bluetooth, update the information to my Oura ring app, and I geek out on statistics. So I'm really focused on sleep right now because sleep has been something that I've never been great at most of my life. I can recall in high school often, you know, having trouble falling asleep at night. And I've always been a light sleeper. And then when I was in my late 20s, I went through about 7 years of chronic insomnia and about a year and a half of very intense chronic insomnia. And so in the past year, I've really gotten my sleep dialed, but I still haven't been feeling super energetic in the morning. Like, it always takes me a little bit of time to wake up. So I've long suspected that the quality of my sleep is not awesome. So I figured, you know, I've been trying all these things, but I'm like, you know, it would help me move a lot faster with achieving my sleep goals if I had some way to track if what I was doing was actually working. I'm someone who is very motivated by data. When I'm doing things and I don't know if they're actually helping, it's hard for me to stay the course. But when I'm getting the feedback that something I'm doing is actually working, then I'm way more likely to stick with it. And so I really thought that by getting the Oura ring that I would be able to sort of track what I was up to. So that was kind of the reason why I got it. So what I quickly learned when I got my Oura ring is that I had an abundance of REM sleep, but I wasn't very good at getting a lot of deep sleep. And typically, I think you're supposed to get somewhere between like an hour and an hour and a half of deep sleep every night. I might be wrong on that number, but something along those lines. And I was getting, you know, sometimes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but I was not getting anywhere near an hour and a half. And it's interesting because I'm such a crazy dreamer. I dream very vividly. I often have lucid dreams when I'm dreaming. And that makes sense because those dreams actually happen quite a bit in your REM sleep. But I was determined to get into deeper sleep. And a couple things that have really helped me is I've been doing ice baths. But we have this tank on our deck that's full of water and ice because it freezes over and I have to chop it off every day, which is so crazy. But I've been doing these ice baths before bed, and just dropping your body temperature like that does help you get into a deeper sleep. So that's been really helpful. The other thing that seems to contribute to me getting deeper sleep is Joe Dispenza. So you guys might have heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza. If you haven't, look him up. He's totally amazing. So he is very much into neuroplasticity, retraining the pathways in your brain so that you can have a different experience in your life. And he personally actually was hit by a car, I believe in his 20s, and his whole spine got super fucked up, and he was able to basically rebuild his spine with his brain, with this neuroplasticity. It's such a crazy story. If you haven't read his intro book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, I highly recommend it. And I will also link to that in the show notes. But anyways, I've been doing his meditations kind of on and off for maybe the past year. And I decided to commit to doing these meditations before bed, because one of the beliefs that I have personally is that I'm a bad sleeper, right? Because that's the experience I have. But I believe that when we constantly tell ourselves, that plays back into our experience. So I have been doing these sort of belief busting meditations. The one I'm doing, I believe, is called, I can't remember the exact name of the meditation, but I'll link to it in the show notes. And you can get the show notes for this episode at kendraperry.net/episode53. So anyways, doing these meditations before bed and trying to shift my perspective, and instead of saying I'm not a good sleeper, I'm a bad sleeper, I'm a light sleeper, the kind of shift I've been making is I sleep deeply. I'm so grateful for the deep sleep that I get every night. And I've been doing that for a couple weeks now. And when I do that, the morning after, I look at my Aura app and I'm getting an hour and a half to an hour and 40 minutes of deep sleep. So that has been incredibly powerful for me. So definitely check it out. I'll also link to Aura Ring in the show notes because I just love mine and it's given me so much just really interesting information about myself. Okay, so enough about me, right? Let's jump into today's episode and talk about the three reasons that you aren't getting clients. So number one, it's a big one, sometimes the biggest one. They don't actually know that you can help them. How are you supposed to get clients if they don't even know that you can help them? Okay, so this is where you need to start. You need to understand whether people actually know that you are someone who can help them. And really what this comes down to is niching and messaging. And I know I talk about niching a lot. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, on my YouTube channel, on Instagram. The reason for that though is because it is so incredibly important, okay? You need to niche down so that you are targeting a specific person who has a specific problem. So when we determine our niche statement, quote unquote, we are thinking about three different things: person, problem, solution. Who is the person? What is the problem that they need solving? And what is the solution that they ultimately want? Now, with the person, it needs to be niched down somewhat. You don't need to go crazy. You don't need to say, you know, I help moms who had babies in 1984 and blah, 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 and get super crazy. But you do need to define it somewhat, because when you say people, you're basically referring to anyone from like the age of 18 to 118, right? And the way in which I would speak with a senior is different to the way that in which I would speak with a teenager or a young adult, right? So we do need to narrow it down somewhat. And over time, you might narrow it down further based on the experience you have, but you have to start somewhere. And if all you start with is women or men, that's a good place to start. Now, the next thing is figuring out what problem you actually solve. Okay, and this is where people tend to get stuck, because in health coaching school, typically, you know, we have this very holistic approach to diet, to wellness, to health and lifestyle, right? And so we try to convince people to work with us by speaking to this holistic approach, right? And if when you talk this way, it is very subjective. And we do not want our niche statement to be subjective. We don't want people to wonder about it or leave it open to interpretation. We want people to quickly know what we do and who we help and whether we are for them or not. So when you come up with your niche statement, which is going to look like, I help this type of person solve this problem so they can get this outcome. That's what it's going to be like. Okay. But you need to say that in words that they can understand and words that they use. And when I'm saying they, I'm speaking to the people out there who did not go to health coaching school. The people out there who are currently living in the conventional medical paradigm, and they don't understand that everything's connected. They don't understand what true health is, right? They believe that health is the absence of disease, right? Because every time they go to their doctor and they get their blood work done, they say, everything's normal, everything's fine. And that's what they believe is normal. Now, I know that can feel infuriating because, you know, we're here to shift the status quo when it comes to health, right? We're like, that's not right. That doesn't mean you don't have health issues, right? But we have to meet them where they're at, and we have to use words that they understand and that connect with them. We need to connect. So things that you should never have in your Instagram bio, on your Facebook business page, or in your website header would be things like, I help you optimize your health. I teach you how to be healthy. I help you live a life. I help you live a healthy lifestyle. I help you take your health to the next level. I help you feel free in your body. I help you be the best version of yourself. So think about all those that I just said, right? And feel free to pause and go back, skip back, listen to them again. And the question I have for you is, are these specific or are they general? They're general, right? And they can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. Because when you say something like, I help you optimize your health, like, what does that actually mean? What does optimize health mean to you? And what could it mean to someone else? I teach you how to be healthy. Well, what does healthy mean, right? Healthy is a very general, broad word that is open to a lot of interpretation. My definition of being healthy is probably going to be very different from someone else's definition of being healthy. Same with healthy lifestyle. Take your health to the next level, feel free in your body. Like, I honestly don't even know what that means. And be the best version of yourself, right? Because the problem is a lot of people think they're healthy because they don't have sickness. So when you say, well, I can help you optimize your health, they're thinking, well, my health is fine. My health is fine, right? So you do not want to be vague, and you do not want what you tell people you do to be open to interpretation. You don't want it to have multiple meanings. You want your niche statement to have one specific meaning. So the problem that you solve, it needs to be specific. It needs to be a problem that they know they have. And it needs to be a problem that is reducing the quality of their life so much that they no longer want to live like that anymore. I've said this before, but people are only truly going to pay to get themselves out of pain or suffering, right? Because this is the world that we've all been raised in. Like, we go to the doctor when something is wrong. We don't go to the doctor to prevent future disease. We don't go to the doctor to optimize health, right? That's not what we do. So we are taught, we are conditioned from a very early age to only seek help when something is wrong. So people truly are not going to pay to prevent future outcomes when it comes to health. They're not going to pay to prevent future disease. At least it's very rare. People are typically only going to pay when something is wrong and it's gotten so bad that it is interfering with the quality of their life, and that is what is motivating them to want to solve it. I have talked to thousands of people about their health. I went into business in 2013 as a health coach. I used to have like 20, 30 sales calls a week. I have spoken to a lot of people about their health, and only one time in the 5 years that I spoke to so many people about their health, did I have someone come to me with virtually no symptoms, at least from their perspective, and tell me that they just wanted to, you know, get their health on track and optimize. But what's interesting is this woman ended up having a ton of issues. When we did the testing, all these things came up. And by the time I finished working with her, I really got the sense that she was just in denial and she was having a lot of these things, but she was too scared to admit them. She was too scared to admit that she was weak, and she was completely disassociated from her body and disconnected. So in the end, I mean, I think she wanted to solve problems. She was just too afraid to admit it. So people just aren't going to come to you for that. And if they do, they're not going to pay you good money for it, right? And we're all here to make good money. What we do, what we offer, our time is valuable. So we're here to make good money. We are not here to be broke as fuck, okay? So the problem in which you decide you were going to solve, it has to be incredibly specific, okay? And because everyone is living in this conventional medical paradigm, the best problems to solve are related to symptoms, conditions, and diagnoses. This episode of the Wealthy Coach Podcast is brought to you by my mini training, Niche Like a Boss. I know that choosing a niche and determining who your ideal client is something you probably are thinking of doing or maybe know you need to be doing, but you are confused. You don't really understand it. You're thinking, well, do I actually need to niche? Is this important to me? And if you do think it's important, maybe you're like, well, I don't know if my niche is any good and I'm still confused about this whole niching thing. So this is the last niche training that you are ever going to have to take because I've put everything you need to know about choosing a niche that is not only profitable, but is incredibly aligned and is going to help you attract clients. What a lot of people don't know is a confusing, unclear, and non-concise, I don't know if that's a word, but non-concise niche is the main reason why people aren't making any headway in their business. It really, truly is the foundation of any successful business. So if the niche is off, you are gonna struggle to make sales, to attract clients, to create content. Everything is just gonna be a lot harder and is gonna take you like 20 times as long to do. So inside Niche Like a Boss, I will teach you my 5-step process for choosing a niche. I'm gonna teach you how to define your ideal client and get to know them intimately. Plus, I'm gonna teach you how to do one of the most important activities that all of us need to be doing when we are new in business, yet most people aren't doing it because they've never even heard of it. So all of this is inside Niche Like a Boss, and you can get that by going to the show notes of this episode. That link will be there, and I hope you enjoy the training. Anxiety, acne, joint pain, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, headaches, psoriasis, eczema. These are great problems that people know that they have and that they want solving. Because if we use, let's say we use psoriasis as an example, you know, maybe someone has some light psoriasis and, you know, it's like kind of itchy, but it's not a big deal. And they can put on some cortisone cream or something like that. And it kind of just keeps it at bay and it doesn't bother them. Cool. How likely is it that they're going to reach out to you and be like, yeah, I want to work with you so that I can prevent my psoriasis from becoming worse? You know, because for a bunch of years, they've kept it at bay. It's like slightly annoying, but not a big deal. And the doctor says there's nothing they can really do about it but give these creams. But what happens if at some point the psoriasis starts spreading and it gets incredibly itchy and they start becoming self-conscious of it? You know, they don't like wearing shorts because it's on their knees and it just looks really terrible in their perspective. So they're just like becoming self-conscious. It's also incredibly itchy and it keeps them up at night and it's irritating. At that point, are they going to reach out to you and ask for help? If you are someone who helps with psoriasis, well, absolutely. Okay. So you really got to get people. We got to connect with people when their problems are bad. And yes, does it make your work harder? Absolutely, right? It's way easier to prevent a future outcome than it is to stop something that is chronic, that's diagnosed, that has been going on forever, right? Like, we know that, but that's when people are going to come to you, okay? So if we're using psoriasis as an example, and let's say, you know, I'm at that point, the psoriasis is super irritating, it's driving me crazy, I'm you know, embarrassed by it. I feel really self-conscious in shorts, and, you know, it's preventing me from, you know, feeling confident dating, from wanting to wear short skirts, which I love to wear. And, you know, it's keeping me up at night because I'm waking up super itchy. And so I'm tired now, feel fatigued because I'm just not getting the sleep that I want to get. What am I going to be Googling? What am I going to be searching in search engines? Am I going to be searching how to optimize my health, or am I going to be searching how to get rid of psoriasis, right? It's going to be option two. So if people are going to find you, you have to be targeting or niching in terms that people are actually searching for. And nobody is searching for how to optimize my health. It just doesn't happen, right? It's just so rare, right? It's funny. I just typed in how to optimize my health into Google and the search volume is zero per month. So when I say no one is searching it, literally no one is searching it, zero per month. But if I put in how to fix psoriasis, let's see what comes up. 9,800,000 searches per month. So zero versus 9 million, almost 10 million. Okay, that's the difference. People just aren't searching for general health stuff, right? So if I'm that person, and you know, I'm searching, and you are a coach who says, I help women in their 30s get rid of their psoriasis so they can stop being itchy and self-conscious, I'm on board. I'm following this person. I am literally binging their website. I'm binging their social media because I'm like, oh, this person helps people like me. But if you're the health coach out there who says, you know, I'm going to help you, you know, improve your lifestyle, I'm not even going to pay attention. Like, I won't even see you, right? Because I'm super focused on the psoriasis, even though you as the health coach who says I can help you with your lifestyle can probably just as equally help me. But I don't know that. So this is one of the biggest reasons, is people just don't understand that they can help you because you're not speaking to them. And you will feel resistance with niching. That's normal, because we often feel that by niching down, we are excluding. And we are excluding, but that is actually a good thing, because we cannot target all the 5 billion whatever people who are currently on the internet. We just can't, right? So it's really, really important that we talk to a specific person. So when it comes to determining your niche statement, get a general idea of the type of person you want to help, whether that's women or men or moms or whatever. But that problem that you're solving, make it specific. And the best way for you to go is to use a symptom, condition, or diagnosis. And then the outcome is obviously what they want. Like, what do people want instead of the problem? So in terms of psoriasis, well, they want clear skin, right? So just something really important to consider is, you know, am I speaking about what I do in a way that connects with people and the problems that they actually have? All right, number two. Reason number two, your online presence and content isn't connecting with your ideal client. Your online presence and content isn't connecting with your ideal client. So if you guys want deeper information on content and how to make it work, refer to episode 28, How to Make Your Content Work. Really good episode on creating content. But we're going to do a little mini lesson on this here. So when you show up online, whether it's in video, whether it's podcast form, in a blog post, or maybe in a social media post, or even an Instagram reel, you need to be curating the experience for your ideal client. It needs to connect with them, which means that it needs to be relevant to them, okay? So effective marketing is all about getting into the head of your ideal client and figuring out what makes them tick. What are their pains? What are their struggles? What are they worrying about? What makes them excited? How are they spending their time? The content needs to connect. When they go to your Instagram account or wherever you are online, they should instantly know that your content is for them. And they should be impressed by the fact that you are constantly delivering relevant content to the problem that they have. And so if you don't understand the inner workings of your client, you can't ask the question, you know, what makes them tick? What are their pains? What are their struggles? What are they worrying about? What are they excited about? What do they want? How are they spending your time? Then you just don't understand them properly. And what that means, if you don't understand who you're talking to, then you won't be creating the kind of content that they actually want to engage with. So if you wonder, if you follow me on Instagram, and if you don't, at Kendra Perry Inc., I highly recommend that you do, because my content is very good and you will often see my content and you will feel like I am talking directly to you. If you are, of course, a health coach who's struggling to make money, struggling to build your business, sometimes my words will cut you deep. And that's not trying to be mean, but it's because I understand you. I've spent, well, not only have I personally been a health coach and I've been in your shoes, but I spend a lot of time connecting with my ideal client. I spend a lot of time on something called market research. And I'm constantly paying attention to the questions I'm being asked and to the struggles that I see my students have and people inside my audience. And my content is always created around that. So when you sit down to create content and you ask yourself, this is what you want to ask yourself. What does my ideal client need to hear today? Because if you don't know that, then you don't understand them. And you need to do more market research, okay? So get out there and interview your ideal client. Who is that? So start with the niche. Who do you help? Who is this person? What type of person? Let's say it's women who are struggling with anxiety, okay? So you help women struggle who are suffering with anxiety, you know, become calm and feel, you know, more confident or whatever, right? That's a great starting place. So you need to find women who struggle with anxiety and you need to invite them onto an interview with you. Now, this isn't a sales call. You don't have ulterior motives. You're not trying to sell them into anything. You are literally just wanting to ask them questions so that you can actually figure out these questions, are these the answers to these questions? What makes them ticks? What are their pain? What are their struggles? So great questions would be, you know, how do you experience your anxiety? How does anxiety interfere in your life? How long have you been struggling with your anxiety? What have you tried so far to fix it? Because you're going to find a lot of commonalities between the people you interview. And if you can interview 10, 15, 20 people over the next few months, that's amazing. You are going to learn so much. And what you're going to notice is that there's going to be a lot in common with how people are experiencing their anxiety. For example, you might learn that a lot of people who have anxiety have tried pharmaceuticals and they've been really frustrated by them. Well, there is a great thing to make content on, you know why pharmaceuticals don't always work and what to do instead, right? Obviously staying within your scope and obviously, you know, saying that sometimes people need medication, but these are some alternatives, right? You might notice that a lot of your people who you talk to, like they don't even want to leave their house because they have so much social anxiety. Wow, that's another great thing to create content on. So there really needs to be a connection. All the content you create needs to be specific to the niche. And the way in which you will learn about your person, your human, is really by talking to them and getting to know them. You want to interview them. And let's say you don't know anyone who has the specific problem in which you help solve, go onto Facebook. Join Facebook groups. We're talking about anxiety, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands of groups on anxiety. And just go in there and be a fly on the wall and see what people are talking about and struggling with and the questions they're asking, because you'll probably find a lot of content inspiration inside those groups. Also, if you're working with clients, if you have clients, listen to your clients. What questions are they asking you? When I was working with health coaching clients, anytime they asked me a question, I would type it into a note and I would come back to it later when I was creating content, okay? So the online presence in your content, it really needs to connect to the person of whom you are trying to help, okay? And this is where a lot of people get really stuck because they're thinking, okay, well, if I'm niching in anxiety, like, aren't I gonna run out of things to talk about if all I'm talking about is anxiety? No, because we know that the body is holistic and it's connected. Everything connects to everything. So anxiety is related to hormones, gut, immune system, brain function. It's related to so many different things. And so it doesn't mean that you only talk about anxiety. You can talk about estrogen dominance, but how does that relate to anxiety, and you need to make it obvious to them. You need to speak to them like they're 12-year-olds so that they get it. You know, if I go down your Instagram feed, I shouldn't see, do you have estrogen dominance? You would put something instead like, how does estrogen dominance make you anxious? See how what I'm doing there is I'm making it relevant. So that online presence and content, it needs to connect. And the only way that you're going to be able to connect is by actually truly getting to know the person in which you are trying to serve. Okay, final step, number three reason why you're not getting clients. Your offer or your program isn't attractive to your ideal client, and there is a disconnect. Your offer or your program isn't attractive to your ideal client, and there is a disconnect. So it's super important that your ideal client feels like the program that you sell was created exactly for them to help them with the problem that they want solving. And so I see this all the time. Maybe the niche is clear, but the program seems unrelated or disconnected. So example, you help women with weight loss, but you sell a conscious eating program. Or you run a challenge about detoxing, and then you try to sell them into a thyroid reset program. Or maybe you help women with, again, anxiety, but your program is called the Sexy Meditation Method. It doesn't connect. And yes, we know if we're using weight loss and conscious eating, we know that conscious eating is a way in which women can lose weight, but they don't know that yet. Right? The niche statement is front-facing and your program is front-facing. So if they actually want to lose weight, they're not going to understand like why they should be consciously eating. You have to educate them about that within your program and within your content. But that should not be the name of your program. So the program should be named accordingly so that your client instantly knows that it's about them and it's for them. And this is where coaches are getting tripped up. For example, if we're using the weight loss example, they help women with weight loss, but they are afraid of being lumped in with traditional weight loss coaches, right? Because they don't want to just talk about macros, exercise, and calorie counting, and that probably is outside their value system. What they want to talk about or what they believe women need to lose weight is mindful eating and healing the gut, just as an example. So because of that, they're like, well, what I really do is I help women mindfully eat and heal their gut. So they decide to call their program the Mindful Gut Program. But to women who want to lose weight, it just doesn't make sense. They're just like, yeah, my gut is cool. And what the fuck is mindfully eating, right? They're just like, I want to lose 20 pounds. So this doesn't mean you need to change your method. And just to be clear, mindful eating and gut healing is the method in this example. It means you need to change how you talk about it and message, and the name of your program needs to shift, okay? So yes, you know that people need to eat mindfully and heal their gut to see long-lasting and sustainable weight loss, but they don't. They don't know that. So if you try to sell them this mindful eating gut program, you're going to lose them. You want the program to show them that it's going to give them what they actually want. You have to give them what they want. And if they want to lose weight, you have to give that to them. Now, there are a lot of different ways in which you can help them get there. And if you don't want to be a traditional weight loss coach who talks about macros and calories and exercise, that is 100% cool and is even great because it sets you apart. But you still have to tell them and show them that you will help them lose the weight. Okay? People don't often care how you get them from A to B or from sick to healthy. They just want to know that you can get them there. You know, so for example, if I want to lose 20 pounds, I just want to feel confident that I believe you can help me lose the 20 pounds. What we actually do to help me lose the 20 pounds, I care less about, right? So you really need to speak about your program in regards to how it's going to help them get what they want, okay? Because what you know they need and what they actually want can be two totally different things. And you can't convince people to want something that they don't want. If your people want to lose weight, show them, I can help you lose weight. I will help you lose the 20 pounds. This is what I do. If you follow my method and you stick to it, you will probably see some significant weight loss, right? But the mindful eating, the gut healing, that is the method. And that's what you teach them once they are inside your program. But that cannot be the front facing of your program because you will lose them. Everything has to connect. This whole journey of from when people find you to ultimately become your client, it has to make sense and it has to be obvious and it has to be specific. So if I am someone who's trying to lose weight, I need to end up on your Instagram account and instantly know that you help women like me lose weight because that will make me follow you. And then you need to keep me engaged by constantly sharing content with me that gives me tips on how to lose weight or reasons why I might not be losing weight. And then when I'm warmed up enough and ultimately I'm interested in working for you, I need to see that you have this sexy weight loss program or whatever you're going to call it and be extremely stoked because I'm like, well, yeah, that's exactly what I want. So it all needs to connect. So that is number three. Look at your offer. Make sure it's attractive. Make sure that just by saying the name of it, they instantly know that they can help you. Okay. So just to summarize, the reasons why you're not getting clients is number one, they don't know you can help them. And that's where you need to work on your message and your niche. Number two, your online presence and content isn't connecting, right? So it needs to be relevant to the problem in which they have. And you need to get inside their brain. And if you're not inside their brain, market research, market research, market research, market research. Don't skip this. And then finally, the reason why you're not getting clients is your offer isn't attractive to your ideal client and there is a disconnect. So it seems like the program that you're offering them is made for someone else with a different problem. Make it connect. Make it flow. All right, my friend, I hope you found this episode of the Wealthy Coach Podcast helpful. If you did find it helpful and you're currently listening on your smartphone, take a quick screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, tag at Kendra Perry Inc. Let me know your biggest take homes and I will say a personal hi inside the DM. I really love connecting with you on Instagram and I really love to know what you have found to be most helpful in the podcast. And if you want to go one step further, you can leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you're wondering how to do that, because it's not always obvious, I have a couple tutorials, whether you're using iOS or an Android user, in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at kendraperry.net/episode53. That's kendraperry.net/episode53. Thank you for tuning in today. Today. And I will see you next Monday, same time, same place, where I help you become wealthy as fuck. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm wondering, do you want to help me with my mission to end health coach poverty? Because if you do, I need all the help I can get. And all I need is 2 minutes of your time. If you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help so much. These reviews help get my podcast in front of more people, which means that I can reach more health coaches and complete my mission. Thank you so much for your help, and I can't wait to talk to you in the next episode.